earned the title. Then a thought came to me. I said to myself, I have been trying to keep this heart of mine clean and available for Christ, but it is hard work. I start on one room, and no sooner have I cleaned it than I discover another room is dirty. I begin on the second room, and the first one is already dusty again. I'm getting tired trying to maintain a clean heart and an obedient life. I just am not up to it. Suddenly I asked, Lord, is there a possibility you would be willing to manage the whole house and operate it for me just as you did that closet? Could I give you the responsibility of keeping my heart what it ought to be and myself doing what I ought to be doing? I could see his face light up as he replied, I'd love to. This is exactly what I came to do. You can't live out the Christian life in your own strength. That is impossible. Let me do it for you and through you. That's the only way it will really work. But, he added slowly, I am not the owner of this house. Remember, I'm here as your guest. I have no authority to take charge since the property is not mine. In a flash, it all became clear. Excitedly, I exclaimed, Lord, you have been my guest, and I have been trying to play the host. From now on, you are going to be the owner and master of the house. I'm going to be the servant. Running as fast as I could to the strongbox, I took out the title deed to the house, describing its assets and liabilities, its condition, location, and situation. Then rushing back to him, I eagerly signed it over, giving title to him alone for time and eternity. Dropping to my knees, I presented it to him. Here it is, all that I am and have forever. Now you run the house. Just let me stay with you as houseboy and friend. He took my life that day, and I can give you my word, there is no better way to live the Christian life. He knows how to keep it and use it. A deep peace settled down on my soul that has remained. I am his, and he is mine, forever. May Christ settle down and be at home as the Lord of your heart also.
Pray with me. Father, we come here and we worship you. We praise your name and acknowledge that you are our Savior. And as we open your words now, Father, speak to our heart. Draw us into you. Let the words that are spoken be yours and give us ears to hear. Take off the blinders and let us see things we've never seen before. Let the distractions be held at bay and your Spirit move in this room that we might be drawn deeper into you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We come this morning to the end of our journey through this little book that I read 40 years ago, and it's had such a profound impact on my life. It's been tucked away, and I'll find it every so often, and I'll open it and reread it. And one of the things that struck me so vividly the first time I went through it was the thought that it is impossible to live the Christian life. I'm a testament of that. It is impossible to live the Christian life on your own. See, what we've done, we pray that prayer where we literally ask Jesus to come into our heart, and then we treat him like a guest. That's our mistake. As we've seen, as we've gone through the dining room where the desires, the things that drive us on a daily basis so often are built on earthly desires and flesh. And we've looked at the bedroom, our personal relationships, our physical relationships, and so many times we make excuses why they're okay. We looked at the workroom. The things we're producing for the kingdom are not producing. I mean, at the end of the day, what have you done for the kingdom today? We went through the living room where we rest, relax, watch TV. And so often, the wonder is, are we spending time with Him? We looked at the study where, what are we pouring into our mind? Is it drawing us closer to Him or pushing us further away? The rec room, remember, where we have a good time. We relax. We enjoy life. What are we doing? Would He go with us? And last week, that pesky hall closet where we keep those hidden sins locked away because nobody can see them, but He knows they're there. If we want to give Him the whole house, give Him ownership of it, He's ready and willing. But how do you make that happen? How do you turn it all over and turn loose of it and stop trying to take it back from Him and go off on things that we think are important and then later find out they aren't and we wish we hadn't? This morning we're going to look at giving it all to Him, letting Him take over. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is a passage I'm sure you probably know and know pretty well. Let me set the context for you here. Okay? Jesus is in the upper room with His disciples. The thing we've come to know as the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. John records for us the most detail of what took place in that room that night. He allows us to be a fly on the wall. Jesus is heavenly burdened with what is taking place. And He knows this is His last moments before He's crucified with His disciples who He has invested so much in. And He wants them to grasp a few very important things. They are as important to you and I as they were to them. Look with me at chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and My Father is the gardener. He cuts off the branches of mine that does not produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Verse 3. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Verse 4. Remain in Me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot produce fruit unless you are in Me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in Me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. So here's this thought. First of all, you have to know, this was an imagery that would be very vivid to the disciples of this day. This was a vocation that they understood. They get this, okay? They know that that branch cannot produce fruit unless it's connected. This was a symbol that was throughout their society. At one point, a vine was on their money, okay? So they get it. The second thing here that's so important for you and I is what Christ is trying to tell them is, like He says at the end, you can't do anything unless you're connected to Me, unless you're a part of Me. Now what He's saying here, He says, you've been purified and pruned by salvation. You're in Me, you're part of Me, but you have to stay a part of Me. You have to stay connected. And the waves of life, how do we do that? I want to give you an illustration. Take out your cell phone. Everybody's got to play along. I'm not picking on cell phones today. Okay? Take out your cell phone. Now, imagine with me for a minute, this phone, a phone like this, represents your life. Okay? You're the phone. Okay? You've got apps. Everything that you're connected to in any way is an app. Now, some of you flip phone people, just play along. Imagine, okay? Look with your neighbor. They'll explain it to you. Okay? You put apps on and off your phone all the time. As you need them, you put more apps on. You don't use this when you take it away. Your life is this phone, and you have apps. For instance, your spouse is an app. Your family, they're an app. Your job, that's an app. Your kids, they're apps. The grocery store, the drugstore, the doctor, they're all apps. Okay? Are you following with me? You getting the picture here? Your music, your entertainment, your TV, that's an app on your phone. Church, that's an app. Now, I know some of y'all don't use that one but once a week, but it's an app. Your finances are an app. Driving, that's an app. You got the picture? You follow me? Okay, I want you to do me a favor. Put your phone in airplane mode. You just stopped abiding in Christ. You just stopped abiding in Christ. You just lost your connection to God. Now, for my phone, I got this warning. It says, turning on airplane mode will disable all network features, including calling, messaging, mobile data, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. You know, let me put that in layman's terms. Now I'm holding a calculator. Right? But what happens to you and I is we go in and out of airplane mode all the time. When we're connected with God, when we're abiding in Christ, then He's controlling all of our apps. And our connection with our apps is through Him. But then we switch on airplane mode. You know what that looks like? Now your spouse is a person you expect to serve you, who you get aggravated with, who sometimes you don't even like. Instead of what Christ said as you're to serve them. Your job, when you switch on airplane mode, you dread Monday morning. You think, not again. I have to go back there. I don't even like that job. I don't even know why I have that job. I don't even want to be there. That's what it looks like in airplane mode. When you're not in airplane mode, you see it as a mission field of people around you who you can touch with the gospel. The grocery store, the doctor's office, the pharmacy, they're things you have to endure when you're on airplane mode. You just want to get through them. I just got to get this done. I'm in a hurry. I got to get out of here. Switch on airplane mode. Get it done. Instead of the divine encounters where you could have spread the gospel through a smile, but you were too busy, so you're in airplane mode. Your finances, you switch on airplane mode and you get worried about them. Do I have enough? Is it going to last? No, I can't give any to anybody. I've got to take it. It's mine. That's what airplane mode looks like. Driving, you switch on airplane mode and you start screaming at people who cannot even hear you. Brian? We do this on an ongoing basis. The problem is, for some of us, we get up in the morning, we start the phone up, we spend time with God, we study for a few minutes, and then we switch on airplane mode and we got to get through the day. How many times have you got to the end of the day and you went, I didn't even think about God once today? You know why? Because you're in airplane mode all day. All day. So all those encounters that you could have had, you missed them because you didn't have your connection. Now here's the thing. God will never put you in airplane mode. You do it yourself. We have all kind of reasons. We're really busy. We got to get this done. We got to get that done. He won't like what my desire is today. I want to just have a good time with my friends. It's a small sin. I'll keep it in the closet. None of that exists in airplane mode. If you want to abide in Christ, if you want to produce fruit, if you want to live a life that is joyful, stay out of airplane mode. Look with me. At verse 8. Verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings glory to my Father. Let's dissect that for a minute. If you're not producing fruit, what are you? See, I'm going to say, when we go on airplane mode, we do more damage for the kingdom because we're still wearing the I Love Jesus t-shirt, but we're acting a fool. And so what people do is they begin to connect the fact of how Christians act when they're in airplane mode to how all Christians are. So when you're screaming at that lady on the phone, or the cashier at the register because she miscounted your 28 cents, or the lady who didn't bring your water fast enough at the restaurant, you're in airplane mode. You want a test to see if you're in airplane mode? I'll give you an easy one. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verses 22 and 23. Jesus is talking to us about being vines that are connected to Him and producing fruit. Here's the fruit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's your test. Pick an app in your life. Whatever app it is, work, spouse, job, pharmacy, whatever. Pick whatever app you got. If this is not being produced toward that app, you're in airplane mode. You follow me? Take a look at your job. You say, you cannot believe how bad my boss is. I can't stand him. He drives me crazy. Okay, there's your app. There's your boss. Now, if you don't act towards your boss with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you're in airplane mode. There is no break from being a Christian. There is no pass. There is no get out of jail free card. There is no "but they did this, so I don't have to do this towards them." They treated me this way, so I don't have to do this. There's no pass. There's no go into airplane mode and give them a piece of your mind because they deserve it. Jesus said something very different. So, if you're like I am and I don't remember Scripture very well, this is one of those lists you might should make the list and then memorize it. Because it is an easy test to whether or not you're in airplane mode. This is what should be coming out of you. If you're connected to Christ, if your connection to Him is going to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of those things are enjoyable. That's the joy Jesus is talking about. So go back with me to John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in me. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in love. So we get this. We're supposed to stay out of airplane mode. We're supposed to abide in Christ. We're supposed to produce fruit every day, all day. Because that's what following Him looks like. That's what He wants from us. Here's the challenge for most of us. I used this illustration a couple years ago, but many of you weren't here. And if you were here, you probably forgot, so you need to hear it again. Jesus, God, is the water. Okay? He's the water. You're the boat. I'm in Christ, right? I'm in Christ. But I'm also in the world. The world is the air. Okay? So I'm stuck between both, like we are. Okay? I'm in the world. This physical body causes me all kind of trouble. Because sometimes I'm just human and stupid. No, I'm not supposed to say that word. Sorry. I'm in trouble. I'll hear about it on the way. Oh, no, I'm in my car. I won't hear about it on the way home. Okay, I'll hear about it when I get home. Don't worry about it. What happens to the boat when the storms of the world come around? The boat gets tossed around. Okay? Sometimes these are big storms. They're major storms, their health problems, their marriage problems, their stuff that you can't control. But so often they're little storms. Okay? Your coworker said something you didn't like. The lady at the grocery store was just mean. Those storms of life just toss you around. The people who have learned and are learning how to abide in Christ and not switch on airplane mode, they're not boats anymore. They're submarines. And I got a new one. This one's remote controlled. Both of those are still in the water and in the air. They're in the water and in the world. But you know what happens to a submarine when the storms start coming? They sink deeper into Christ. And the further you go into Christ, there's no storm. So you want to stay out of the storm? Sink deeper into Christ. Because hurricanes only go so deep. And when a submarine encounters a hurricane, they dive deep into Christ. That's what God wants for you and I. If you want to abide in Him, if you want to remain in Him, if you want to stay out of airplane mode, be a submarine. And when you need to dive, let me do it again. You just sink into Christ. And what happens when that takes place is the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His love. And so things that used to bother you, they won't bother you anymore. When you stay out of airplane mode and you be a submarine, sink deep into Him, this world's a piece of cake. And it's because you gave Him the whole house. Even that pesky closet, He'll clean it out. Verse 11 says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with My joy. Yes, My joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Doesn't matter what you encounter. Just go deeper into Him. Stay out of airplane mode. And this world looks a whole lot different. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the people in this room. First, I pray that we all have given You our hearts. We've invited You in. We've made You our Savior. If there's a person in this room that doesn't know that, that hasn't done that, Father, I pray that You move them now to make a decision that will change their eternity. For those of us who I know most of us who have given our heart to You, we literally ask You to come in. I pray that, Father, if we haven't given You complete ownership, You'll help us do that. You'll help us live our lives connected to You, not in airplane mode. And as deep submarines who can sink into You and know that You have everything under control. Lord, move in our hearts. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.